I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Reformed theology, we believe in the doctrine known as progressive revelation. Now, progressive revelation simply means that God reveals His will and His word to His church, to His people, in a progressive fashion. And that means from the time of Adam, when God revealed His will and His word to them, it was revealed to them progressively. From Adam down to the time of Abraham, to the time of Moses, later to David, and to the kings and the prophets, and until the New Testament scriptures were written. And before the completion of the canon of scripture, as God revealed His will progressively, He was also pleased to use the means of visions and dreams and prophecies to reveal His will. This is what is known as progressive revelation. It is progressive because when you look at the saints living in the time of Moses, for example, they did not yet have all of God's will given to them. Moses would have more of scripture or more of God's will given to him than Abraham. We believe that, of course, Moses was the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible, but God has already been revealing His will to saints like Adam and Abraham, but albeit through visions and dreams. But by the time you come to David, they would have more of scripture, more of God's will, God's revelation given to him than Moses. The Psalms were written, and by the time of Solomon, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, they were written. And when you come to the New Testament, by the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Old Testament scriptures have been completed. But the New Testament books have not yet been written and not yet been given to His people. And that was where the Lord ordained the apostles, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to write scriptures. This was one of the very unique and special aspects of their ministry. It was not only to teach and to preach, but it was also to write scriptures, inspired scriptures. And these inspired scriptures are then also preserved for us. And since the passing of the last apostle, which we believe was the apostle John, as he was exiled in the island of Patmos, but since the passing of the last apostle, there would be no more new revelation. The canon of scripture is now complete, and when I use the word canon, it simply means a rule, like a ruler. So when we say that the canon of scripture is complete, what we mean is that all that God has ordained to be given as His revelation, to be given as His will and as His truth, is now completed. There will no longer be any extra biblical revelation. And so for us today, what we have is the complete revelation of God, the complete canon of Scripture. There's nothing that is to be added to it, and that there's nothing that is to be subtracted from it. Now, the reason why I introduce to you this doctrine of progressive revelation is because it is going to be key to help us to understand this portion of Scripture this afternoon. And at the same time, we are also going to see how we are going to apply the principles that we are going to look at this afternoon. Now, in the context of this passage, we have been looking at the life of Joseph. And Joseph, according to the sovereign will of God, was allowed to be led away as a slave into Egypt. And at this time, after resisting the temptation that was brought to him by Potiphar's wife, he was thrown into prison. And in prison, according to the Lord's appointment, there were two new prisoners who were brought into his midst. One was the butler, and the other was the baker, the king's cupbearer and the baker. And now, according to God's own appointment, these two people received each a dream from the Lord. We have already read through this portion of scripture, and we know the dream that they received. But what we have to look at this
afternoon
is to consider the nature of this revelation that God gave through the butler and the baker. And what does this whole episode, what does this whole account tell us regarding God's revelation, regarding God's truth? Now, remember, in the days of Joseph, scriptures were not completed yet. And he was still living in a time where God's will was progressively revealed to his people. And that is the importance of dreams and visions in the days of Joseph. Now, in our context and in our time, there is no longer such visions and dreams given to God's people today because the canon of Scripture is closed. Scripture is already completed. And all that God wants us to know concerning His will and His revelation is given to us in the Bible. But nevertheless, there will be principles that we see concerning the revelation given through visions and dreams to Joseph, or in this particular case, through the butler and the baker, where these principles will still be very much relevant to us today. And that's how we are going to draw the principles and make the applications in light of this narrative account for us today. We do not believe that we have visions and dreams like that of Joseph or the butler or the baker anymore. We believe that God has it, all that God wants us to know, all His will for us, His revelation for us, is given to us in His Word. But nevertheless, how God revealed these visions, how God revealed His will through these visions and dreams, will tell us and teach us a lot concerning how God reveals His will. And these are the principles that we are going to draw and learn today. Now, the meaning of the word to interpret, because that's the title of our message today, interpretation belongs to the Lord. And this was what Joseph will also declare in verse 8. He says, "Do not interpretations belong to the Lord?" Now, the word interpretation means to open up. It means to reveal, it means to explain and to make clear. So when Joseph made this declaration, "Do not interpretation belong to God," what he's saying is that God is the one who will make clear, God is the one who will open up, who will reveal His truth even in the vision and dreams. In this particular case, it will be the dreams which these two men received. God is the one who will open up. God is the one who will reveal. God is the one who will make clear. In the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and onwards, the Bible tells us that no scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, the word private there simply means his own, okay, or one's own. That means no scripture is of any man's own interpretation. No scripture is of any man's own opinion, any man's own making. No revealed truth of scripture is for man, for one's own creativity to decide what it means or what it does not mean. God is the one who reveals His truth. And that's the first truth that I'd like us to dwell upon this afternoon, to ponder upon. When we say that interpretation belongs to the Lord, what we are declaring is that God reveals His truth. And God's truth is clear. God's truth is plain. The dream was given by the Lord. And therefore, the answer is given by the Lord. And here the Bible tells us and shows us how God's truth is clear, is plain, and God has made His will known to us. God has revealed His word, His will, His truth to us. Now, as I explained earlier, right, in this particular case, in the case of Joseph, God revealed His truth and His will by way of these dreams that He gave both to the butler and the baker, okay, where they both each dream a dream each night. And later, the details of this dream will be given to us. And when they were unable to understand or figure out this dream, they were brought to Joseph, and Joseph also saw, and he looked upon them, and he saw how they were sad. So there was something in their disposition which showed to Joseph that they were sad because they could not understand the dream which they dreamt. And so now, in verse 7, the Bible says, he asked Pharaoh's officer that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" So he found out why they were so sad. And they explained to him, because they dreamed a dream, but there was no interpretation. And that was where Joseph then declared that interpretation belongs to the Lord. Now when Joseph declared this statement and this truth, it teaches us that God reveals His truth. And even though today God no longer reveals His will in the same way which He did in the past, God still has given to us His will. Now we must take note that there is no such dreams given to us today, because the Bible has pronounced in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that when there be knowledge, they shall fail. Now if you just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 8, the Bible says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Now the knowledge here refers to revelatory gifts. Okay, because in the context over here, when Apostle Paul spoke of prophecies and knowledge, he's talking about revelatory gifts, where a person would receive the will of God or the revelation of God by way of visions or dreams. And Apostle Paul declares here that they shall vanish away. Now, when and how will they vanish away? He explains this. He says in verse 9, "We know in part. We prophesy in part." That means these visions and dreams and the prophets of the Old Testament, when they prophesied, it was only still in part. Why is it in part? Because this was still part of God's progressive revelation. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, the perfect here does not refer to the second coming of Christ, but rather it refers to the complete canon of scriptures. And this follows the context, because Apostle Paul was comparing the different types of revelation. Revelation which was in part, and then revelation that is now perfect, revelation that is complete. And so what Apostle Paul is simply declaring was that when the complete canon of scripture is given, then the progressive means of revelation, that which is in part, visions, dreams, and prophecies, they shall fail and they shall be done away with. And so this is the reason why today we do not believe that there are prophecies, visions, and dreams in the same way that there were prophecies, visions, and dreams in the Bible. Okay? God has revealed His will, and He has revealed His will perfectly and completely. And now this is the point and how it applies to us. We should not be envious, therefore, of the saints in the Old Testament, or for that matter, of saints in the New Testament, who received the revelation of God by way of visions and dreams. We should not be envious of them, because they received it progressively. But for us today, we have the complete revelation of God, the complete canon of Scripture given to us. Now, I'm not sure at times whether you may be looking at some of these accounts, these narrative accounts of how saints, like even in the case of Joseph, when they receive visions and dreams from the Lord, would you look at them with envy? And then you say, maybe, you know, if I am deciding which school to go to, which course to take, which career path to pursue after, if only I just have this vision and dream, then how making all these decisions will be so easy? Who to marry? Right? Who should I marry? Is it this person or that person? If God were only just to reveal these things to me through a vision or dream, then my life would be so easy. It would be so easy to discern God's will. It would be so easy to obey God's will. Isn't that sometimes what we say? And we say that, well, then the Christian life will be so much easier. Now, do not be envious of them. Because first of all, we need to remember these visions and dreams were not given every day to them. Oftentimes, these visions and dreams were not even given every month to them. It may not even be given every year to them. Some of these cases which you see, they may have these dreams or these visions or this word of prophecies which God gave to them, may be something, an occasion that would have years between them. God may give one word of prophecy in this year, and then maybe 5 years later, God then gives another word of prophecy. And this occasion where they receive these visions or dreams, it was not an everyday occurrence. They could only just wait. If it's the Lord's will to then give a dream or a vision or a prophecy, it was not something that was everyday. That's the first thing to remember regarding these visions and dreams. And another thing to remember also regarding these visions and dreams, which I believe that is oftentimes the problem for us today, is not so much that when God reveals His will through His word, it is any less clear than His will revealed through visions and dreams. Sometimes we may be envious, you know, of the saints who receive God's directing through visions and dreams or prophecies, because we think that, wow, they have received God's will for them so clearly. But that shows a misconception and a wrong understanding regarding God's will revealed to us in His word. God's will revealed to us in the Bible is no less clear, is no less distinct, is no less relevant than these visions or dreams or prophecies which the saints received at that time. And God speaks to us in as personal, in as direct, and in as a powerful way through His word, as He did even through an audible voice, even to the saints of old. When God declares His will and His truth to us today in the Bible, in Scriptures, it is the very Word of God. It's the very truth of God. It's the very, very revelation of God. And there must not be any doubt of it at all in our minds. It is as relevant, it is as powerful, it is as true as those visions and dreams and prophecies which the saints of old received. The only difference was that it was still, for them, progressive. They were receiving God's will progressively, but for us today, we have received all of it. It's completed. But what stands true, whether it be the visions and dreams, or whether the Word of God, is that this is God's truth revealed to us. And God has given to us His word. God has given to us His truth. And this is the first thought that we need to remember and realize. When Joseph declared, interpretation is of the Lord, it means that God has revealed to us His word and His truth, and is plain and clear to us. The problem for many Christians when it comes to discerning God's will, and by discerning God's will, what I'm also referring to is now applying God's word to our lives. Right? When we discern God's will, let's say you are deciding which school to go to, after you finish secondary school, which school to go to, after you finish tertiary institution, tertiary education, then which job to take. And then now you want to discern God's will, you want to know what is God's will for your life, what should you do? Now the problem for many Christians is not so much that God's will is not clear. Problem not is for us is not so much that God has not revealed His will to us. The problem is, even after knowing God's will, and knowing God's truth, and having God's revelation given to you, will you obey? Will you follow? And in my experience of service, which is rather limited. But I believe that just by observation, I'm sure you can see this as well. Oftentimes, for many Christians, the greater issue is not so much of not knowing what we should do. The issue is more having known what we ought to do based on God's word, having seen and having been taught what we should do based on God's word, will we do it? That is the question. See, sometimes I suspect that some Christians, they are always in the business of trying to search out God's will. I mean, of course, I don't want to make too sweeping a statement. I know and I agree and I think that there are some Christians who are genuinely, sincerely trying to discern God's will. You know, they are really reaching a crossroad in their life and they want to know which path they should take, and they are truly praying, seeking, asking the Lord to show them. I'm sure that there are Christians who are like that, and we thank the Lord for them. You know, and I believe that if you remain patient, the Lord in His time will show you. There are truly some Christians who are sincerely seeking, discerning God's will. But there are some Christians who are always in the business of seeking God's will, as if God's will is something that is so vague, so unclear, so uncertain, and something that they are always unsure of. And they are trying to keep finding and finding God's will, as if God had not spoken to them. But the problem is, oftentimes when you look at these Christians and these situations that they are facing in their life, it's not so much that they do not know God's will, but having known God's will, what will they do? Will they simply obey? Will they simply listen? See, the problem is, they have not seen it yet. That interpretation is of the Lord. That means God is the one who reveals His will. This is God's will. This is God's truth. This is God's word. Now, the two people over here, they are very interested to know what is God's, the meaning of the dreams. See, but the important thing is not so much just knowing the meaning of the dreams, but what are you going to do having known the meaning of the dreams? What are you going to do about it? God has revealed His will clearly, plainly to us. Because interpretation is of the Lord. It is open. It is not hidden. It is not closed. It is not confusing. This is where, for us as preachers and teachers of God's word, the Bible has a warning for us. You know, and there is of course a greater responsibility and a greater duty to us, that we make sure we open up scriptures, because scriptures is open. We make sure we do not confuse people. We make sure that we do not lead people astray, even in the teaching and the preaching of God's word. I remember when I was in the Bible college, you know, there were some senior students who were joking. I hope that they were just only joking and that they were not going to employ it in their ministries. Because when they were discussing over some matters of theology, and the course of the discussion, one of these students, he made this comment. Now he said that, as he was discussing, if I can't convince, I will confuse. I hope that he was just joking and that he was not really doing that in his ministry. You know, there are some who employ this way of explaining or discussing God's truth. If I can't convince you, I confuse you. Now, God's word, God's truth, it is never confusing. Interpretation is of the Lord. God has made it open. God has made it plain. And that's the wonderful truth that is so comforting and so assuring for us as Christians. And in fact, this is also one of the very important truths that the Reformers also rediscovered during the time of the Reformation. That Scripture, the Bible, is an open book. It is not just limited or reserved for the scholars, for the intellectuals, only for the educated. It was given to all. You know, when you read the New Testament scriptures, the epistles which Paul wrote, Peter wrote, do you know who they wrote these epistles to? they wrote it to the saints, the church of God. And you look at some of the people that they addressed in these epistles. They would even address men like slaves. So he talks about servant, for example, in the epistle that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He talks about servants submitting to your masters. These were slaves. And slaves could open up scriptures and understand scriptures. Scripture is an open book. God reveals His truth. Now, there are things that God has chosen not to reveal to us. We acknowledge that. There are certain mysteries which God has deemed fit not to show to us, not to give to us. I mean, for example, how old will a person be when he's in heaven? Right? When we now are ushered into eternity, what age would we look like? What age would we appear? I mean, there's no real age in heaven because we are living in eternity. So the sense of time will be very different. But what age would we appear as when we are in heaven? I mean, if a child dies in his childhood and now he is ushered up to heaven, what age would he appear as? Now, what form will he take? Will he appear as a young child, 2, 3, 4 years old? Or will he appear as a 50-year-old child, a person, no longer a child, a 50-year-old person? What age would he appear as? No one knows. The Bible does not reveal to us. And that's what I believe the verse memorization was about in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. There are certain things which the Lord has not revealed to us. What language will we speak in heaven? There's an element of mystery to that. Now, those things which God has not revealed, yes, we do not know, and we should not try to enter into these things which God has not revealed to us. But those things which God has revealed to us, then they are clear, they are given to us. These are God's truth, which we must seek to understand, which we must seek to learn. Do you understand Scripture? Because God's truth is a truth which is revealed. God's Word is an open book. God has revealed His truth. So do you seek to understand Scriptures? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 reminds us Christians. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We might know, take note of this, verse 12 says, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Every truly born-again believer can understand God's Word. And we can understand God's Word because we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. And this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is really emphasizing. That the spiritual man, and who is a spiritual man? A spiritual man is one who has the Holy Spirit abiding in him. A spiritual man is able to discern and understand the spiritual things of God, the will of God, the truth of God. And that's why this is an important thing. Do you understand Scriptures? If you do not understand Scriptures, the fault lies not in the Word of God or in the truth of God. Now, I understand and I agree that Apostle Peter also does say that there are some things which are hard to be understood. Not every portion of Scripture is presented in the same way. Not every portion of Scripture is as easily understood as the other. Because Apostle Peter does say that there are some portions of Scripture which are harder to be understood. And that's where the Bible makes a distinction between the milk and the meat of God's Word. Yes, it is true that there are some portions of Scripture which are what we call the meat of God's Word. Some would be the milk of God's Word. But as a Christian matures, as a Christian grows, he must now begin to eat meat and no longer drink milk. But the truth still stands that every Christian, as he grows and as he matures, he will have an understanding of the Word of God. Now, this does not mean that there's no process of growth. There is a process of growth. But a Christian will grow in that understanding. And hence, this is an important question. Do you understand scriptures? Do you understand, first and foremost, the milk doctrines? The basic, fundamental principles of scripture, of the gospel, of salvation? And then are you beginning to partake also of the meat of God's word? The deeper things of God, which are also given to us. Do you understand when the Bible teaches and speaks of election? Do you have an understanding when the Bible speaks of Christ being the bread of life? Now, do you know that when the Lord Jesus Christ declared that He's the bread of life and that you must partake of Him, it was offensive to many of his disciples in John chapter 6. And the Bible says that they were so offended that they left off from following him because they thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching them to eat of his literal physical body. And they were so offended by it that the Bible says many departed from him. John 6:66. But do you know what it means then when the Lord Jesus Christ says he's the bread of life, you have to eat of him? Do you know how to apply scriptures to your life? Do you know how to comfort others with God's word? Do you know when you can apply God's word as a rod to rebuke, to chastise? When God's word can be applied to bring back a saint, a believer, a child of God who has strayed from his faith? Do you know how to use scripture to encourage? Are you skillful in the use of God's word? Interpretation belongs to the Lord means that the Bible is an open book. God has revealed His truth. And He has revealed His truth for us to enjoy it, to learn of it, to read of it, and then to live it out. If you really believe that the Bible is the word of God, and I pray that you do, and you must, if you are a child of God, you must believe that every word is the word of God. But if you do, then would you not drink in every word? Would you not rejoice at every word that you hear, if this is indeed the very word of God? You know, sometimes when it comes to the books of men, when an author is advertised as a best-selling author, right? A book, you know, that this person has written is being sold and marketed as written by a best-selling author. Or people will flock to buy this book and then to read this book. It's written by this special author. Maybe it's because of his creativity. Maybe it's because of the profound language, the command of language that he has. Maybe it's because of the plot line, the storyline that they enjoy. And then they'll read it. And they'll analyze it. And they appreciate it. Now, if you really believe, and we must believe that the Bible is God's truth given to us, then should we not love it so much? Desire to understand it? Will we not devour every page of it? Do you know God's word? Do you know God's truth? God reveals His truth. So when we say interpretation belongs to the Lord, the first truth, the first thing that we see here is how God has revealed His truth. It is open to us, and He has given it to us. But now when we continue in this narrative account from verse 9 to verse 19, the Bible here describes how there were two dreams. One given to the butler. The dream was simply how he saw a vine. And this vine had three branches that bore fruits. And then he saw how he was to press the grapes that the juice may flow into Pharaoh's cup. And he was to give Pharaoh's cup to Pharaoh. Gave the cup into Pharaoh's hands. So this was the butler's or the cupbearer's dream. Now the interpretation that Joseph gave, verses 14 and 15, or rather verse 13 to 15, was simply that in 3 days, Pharaoh will restore him, and Pharaoh will now install him again as his king's, as his cupbearer. Okay, and in verses 14 and 15, Joseph then requested that the butler remember him when he was promoted. Now, then the second account is simply of, the second dream was simply of how the baker, he dreamt of 3 baskets. In verse 16, Bible says here, they were white baskets on his head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. So all the different types of cakes and bread that were baked for Pharaoh. And the birds came and ate out of the baskets upon the head. And now Joseph answered and said that this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. And within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So here there are simply 2 dreams, one good and one bad. And this is the second thought. The first thought was, we have seen how God reveals His truth and His will and His word. Interpretation is of the Lord. Now the second is, what will your response be? So here we are talking about a response to God's will, to God's truth, to God's word revealed to you. The revelation of God's word that we have now in our hands, the Bible, contains both blessings and judgments. The revelation of God's words, of God's word, contains both words of promises and deliverance, but there are also words of warnings and condemnation. The Word of God contains words of hope and love, but the Word of God also contains words of eternal damnation. The Word of God has grace and mercy, but the Word of God also has truth, holiness, justice. And here, this is where, in the dream that we see concerning the baker and the butler, we see 2 aspects, these 2 aspects of the Word of God being highlighted, emphasized. One, it was a word that describes the restoring of the butler, the cupbearer, to Pharaoh's court. And the other, we see a word of judgment, where in 3 days, the baker will be executed. And when we look at the Word of God, you see also words of warning, words of judgment, how things are unfolding in this world, and how the signs of the times points to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what the world will be like. The Bible describes these things for us. When you study the book of Revelation, you see how the world will come under judgment, under condemnation, because of the unbelief, because of the sin, because of the wickedness. The world will come under judgment and condemnation of the Lord. But the Word of God is also a word that pronounces hope. It pronounces deliverance. It pronounces salvation. But the question is, what is our reaction? What is our response to these things? Now, the Bible over here does not tell us how the baker or the butler reacted and responded to these dreams that they received. I mean, the Bible would tell us that these dreams were fulfilled. The Bible did not emphasize on how the baker or the butler responded. I believe that this is because this is not part of the development of the whole narrative account. But you can imagine, for the next 3 days, how the baker must have felt as he awaits his soon execution. Perhaps you also can imagine how the butler must have felt as he awaited the soon deliverance. We do not know whether the butler, the cupbearer who had the good prophecy, was he truly hopeful? Did he really believe in the promise that was given through this dream? Could he have doubted? Could he have said that it is not possible? On what grounds would the king, would Pharaoh restore me? Would the baker also have doubted? We say that, no, this interpretation is not of God. This is just but from you, Joseph. Who are you? Why do you now pronounce that I'll be executed in 3 days? Could he have doubted? Now, we simply do not know because the Bible did not tell us any of their reactions or their response. But for us today, what is your response when you hear God's word? Whether it be a word of warning. To one, it may be a word of warning because you are still living in wickedness or sin. Now, the Bible also does not tell us the context of why God has so chosen to give this promise of restoring or restoration or deliverance for the butler, and why there's this word of condemnation for the baker. The Bible does not tell us. We do not know. But for us, when we look at the word of God with the different prophecies, with the prophecies of hope, with the promise of hope of deliverance, and when we look at the word of condemnation, of judgment, we know why God has given to us this word, because He has revealed and explained these things to us. And when you see these things, how will you react to it? How will you respond to it? Do you still doubt? Do you say that it's not possible? Now, those who are living in sin and wickedness, when you read the Word of God exposes your guilt, your shame, your unbelief. The Word of God exposes your covetousness. It exposes your idolatry. It exposes your fornication. It exposes these things of you. And when you read this, how will you respond to it? Will you say that, no, it will not be so, it will not come to pass? Or will you repent? Now, the baker, even though this is not told to us, but if even though he was given this word that he's going to die in 3 days, do you know that he can turn to the Lord? He can ask the Lord to forgive him of all his sins, and that even if he were to die physically, his soul can still be of the Lord. We do not know whether the baker did that, and does not matter. Because now the question is, what will you do if this same word is given to you? When you receive and you hear of the things that are unfolding in this world, do you not have this sense of urgency that times are short, that we are living in the last days? And when we see these things, how signs are fulfilled before our very eyes, what is your reaction and your response to it? You know, there are some people who like to talk about the signs of the times just out of curiosity, you know, just as a form of hobby, you know, just out of interest. You know, they like to speculate. They like to speculate, oh, the things that we are seeing unfolding today, right? Is it the mark of the beast or that and things like that? You know, and they talk about it just out of interest. So there are some, the other day I was hearing how some people were saying, you know, like, could the trace together token be like the mark of the beast? And then some were saying, no, you know, they heard that it could be the antivirus, right, the vaccine that could be the mark of the beast. Now, first and foremost, I don't believe that they are, okay, because the mark of the beast requires such that without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy or you cannot sell. And furthermore, that is only during the time of tribulation. Yeah, I believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. So we are not in the tribulation. In the time before the tribulation begins, we would already have been raptured up. Okay, so please do not speculate and think, oh, you know, could this be the mark of the beast or that? Then some people are saying that 5G is also the mark of the beast. There are these hobbies, right? These conspiracy theories that people like to speculate upon. They like to come up with. This is not what we study the Word of God for. This is not what we try to understand the prophecies of God's Word for. In fact, look at these words of warning. And oftentimes with these words of warning comes a word of exhortation. A word that calls the people to repentance. A word that calls the people to look to God. It is not so much God's desire for us to try to speculate what will be the mark of the beast. What will be that sign or this sign? It's not God's purpose for us. It's not God's purpose for us to try to determine exactly when. But what God desires for us is to turn to Him, to look to Him. How will you respond when you receive God's Word? How will you respond to the message of hope? To the message and the promise of deliverance? To the promise of salvation? Are you cynical? Are you skeptical about it? Again, we do not know how the butler responded to his message of hope. And we don't need to speculate about it. But the point now is for you. If you are given a message of hope, of deliverance, of comfort, of assurance, what is your response to it? Will you be filled with praise? Will you be filled with thanksgiving? Will you be filled with adoration? You see how quickly the butler forgot. He forgot about Joseph. He forgot about God. I mean, I believe that Joseph would probably may have been slightly disappointed that the butler forgot about him. But the greater crime over here was the butler forgetting about God. Interpretation is of God. God was the one who gave the dream. God was the one who gave the meaning. And God was the one who fulfilled His word. But the butler forgot about God. Are you also like that? Have you experienced the mercies of God? Tasted of the promises of God? They're so sweet. But you have forgotten that it comes from God. When you experience success, when you experience prosperity, when you experience smooth pathways, you forget that it's from the Lord. You know, when I was a student in FEBC, this was what Reverend Timothy Toh used to say. Even though it's a rather daily thing, you know, that he was using as an illustration, a rather simple thing that he was using as an illustration, but still it highlights the attitude that we ought to have. Remember him saying that sometimes when we are looking for a parking lot, and then we do not pray, we do not seek the Lord, and when the Lord does give us a parking lot, we must give thanks to God twice. Now, the point that Reverend Timothy Toh was making was simply how we need to be very attentive and sensitive to the providential hand of God in our lives. And when you see the providential hand of God, it must always move you to praise, to thanksgiving, to adore Him and to worship Him. Have you seen how God has been so faithful and true to His Word, even when we may have forgotten Him or been unfaithful at times? And when you see that, do you bow down and worship Him and give thanks to Him? We do not know whether the butler was thankful. We do not know whether he was appreciative. Does not matter. Will you be thankful? What is your response to the truth of God's Word? Whether it be a word of chastisement, whether it be a word of judgment, a word of warning, or whether it be a word of hope, of deliverance, of promise, of salvation, what is your response to it? Now, finally, what we see in this passage is that God's word is true. Verse 20 to verse 23. God reveals His truth, and His truth demands a response. But God's word is now true, is shown and is seen to be true. Verse 20 to verse 23. Now it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler unto the butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. God's word is true. Now we see that God's word is true in how these prophecies were fulfilled. 3 days later, as Joseph told to them, so it came to pass. God's word is true. We have seen prophecy after prophecy fulfilled. You look at the New Testament, you see the Gospels, you look at the life of Christ. See how so often the writer of these Gospels, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would constantly quote scriptures to show how Old Testament scriptures have been fulfilled. They have been fulfilled before our very eyes. These promises of God are true. And here there's a very interesting and wonderful contrast. Because at the end of this whole chapter, you notice how the Bible says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. I believe here the Bible presents a contrast. There's a very obvious contrast here. And there's a contrast between the words of men and the words of God. Here, the butler said he will remember him, but the butler forgot. Just even in the span of 3 days, he forgot. He was probably just too caught up with his own promotion. He was just celebrating and rejoicing. He just completely forgot. Now later, the Lord will bring it to his remembrance again, according to his purpose. But here, he forgot. But look at this. The Bible says that God kept and fulfilled his word as Joseph had interpreted. That's verse 22. As Joseph had interpreted to them. As Joseph had opened up to them. Shown them God's will. Shown them God's revelation. So it came to pass. And that's always our assurance and comfort. That God is always true to his words. Now I think sometimes our lack of faith is brought about because of the disappointments that we have experienced in life. Sometimes the doubt, I'm talking about the doubt that we may have towards even God, may be brought about because of how people, men, have failed us in the past. And I suspect that at times what we have done, or we may have done, is that now we measure God in the same way we measure people. As people have disappointed us, as people have hurt us, so now we are cynical, we are suspicious, and then we think that, and we wonder in our hearts, can we have absolute confidence in God's word? The contrast here is very obvious and clear. Men may fail us. Men will disappoint us. Men will forget us and hurt us. But God is always true to his word. He will keep all his promises. We see many wonderful promises he has kept. Do you not see how the Lord has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior? Do you not see how he promised that the Lord Jesus Christ will rise again the third day from the grave? And he did. He rose again the third day from the grave. And now he has promised us that he will be with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. All the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. And we can have full confidence, full certainty, and full assurance in them. Do you take hold of the promises of God? Do you rest in the promises of God? Do you abide in the promises of God? God's word is true. No, God's word is clear. God has revealed his will very clearly to us. That's why we need to respond to it in a way that honors him. And God's word is true. You know, if God's word is not clear to us, then even though it's true, it will not be very helpful to us because we do not know what is His will to us. But if God's word is clear to us and it is true to us, then so how so wonderful His word is to us. Parents, as you bring up your children, God's word is clear. He has shown you how to bring up your children, how to train up your child, how to ground them in the word. Take heed to the warnings of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. Do not allow sinners to entice them. How you have to bind about their neck the word of God, and how God's word will protect them. Have you experienced the promises of this? God's word is true. If you protect your child with the word of God, guide your child in the word of God, God will keep His word. God's word is true. Have you experienced that? God's word is very clear. Young youths, at an age where you are now getting involved in relationships, God's word is clear. Do not be unequally yoked. Be not unequally yoked. The Bible states it very plainly. Do not get involved in a relationship with an unbeliever. Do not get involved in a relationship with someone who is, even though a professing believer, but not of the same mind, not of the same conviction. You will just only reap to yourself sorrow, sadness, grief. Be not unequally yoked. It is an offense against God. Will you take heed of God's word? God's word is true. You trust in the Lord. You seek the Lord regarding relationship. His will is very clear. And as you seek the Lord, you seek God's kingdom first. You trust that the Lord will provide. Have you experienced it? Have you tasted how the Lord's promises are so real? You know, if a person says that he has not experienced how God's promises are real or so true, I believe it's not because God has failed in keeping His promises. It's simply because he has not lived out God's promises. He has not obeyed God's word. If you do not obey and follow God's word, you cannot enjoy the blessings of these promises. But for those Christians, for those of you who have rested in God's word, you believe in God's word, you obey God's word, you trust in God, I'm sure you can testify of how God is always true to His word. Interpretation belongs to the Lord. This means that God's truth and God's will is clear. It is revealed to us. But as it has been revealed to us, will you now obey? What will your response be to the truth revealed to you? As you respond in belief, as you respond in obedience, you will taste and see how God will never forget you. Man may forget you, but God is always faithful. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we know that interpretation is of Thee, and how Thou hast given to us Thy will, revealed so clearly in Thy precious word. We thank Thee that Thou hast also given to us Thy Holy Spirit, that with Thy Holy Spirit abiding in us, we can understand spiritual things, even the deep things of Thee. O Father, we thank Thee that we are not left in this world to wander in a lost and a blind fashion. We thank Thee we are not left to figure out our own lives, the things of ourselves, or even the things of this life on our own. But we thank Thee that Thy word, Thy truth, reveals to us all that we need to live this life godly, holy, pleasing unto Thee. So, O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to seek Thy word, to abide in Thy word, to trust in Thy word,
and to know that thy promises, they are ever true. Thou art ever faithful. We thank thee for this is the assurance that we always take. We thank thee for this Lord's Day, and we thank thee we can worship thee together in this manner this afternoon. We pray and ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.